This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
If you're not a fan of The Walking Dead, now might be a good time to change the channel. Bringing you the latest news, talk, and opinions on all things The Walking Dead. Featuring a fan panel discussing the television show, comics, and more, our cast brings you a 30-minute podcast you can really sink your teeth into. The opinions and subject matter of this program may not reflect any advertiser or sponsor. We assume our listeners have already watched the latest episodes and read the latest comics, so please consider this your spoiler alert. And if we haven't already bored you to death, let's start walking The Walking Dead. This is WTWD. Radio Free Woodbury.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode. This could be your Thanksgiving edition of your favorite Walking Dead podcast, WTWD Radio Free Woodbury. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me is Chris Farrell.
I'm sorry, I'm not Steve Boyd, everyone.
I know, Steve Boyd is off doing Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, me, Canadian here, is celebrating Chris Farrell's Thanksgiving. He is an American. I'm helping him celebrate.
Yes, because my girlfriend is out of town and my family bailed on me, so I'm having Thanksgiving with the Canadian.
Aww.
Even though his Thanksgiving was a month ago.
You can go ahead and send Chris a tweet at Roundtable Nerds on Twitter. Share the love. Tell him that you will next year come and spend Thanksgiving with him.
You're coming down to West Virginia, Stephen.
Not me. I'm sending listeners to do that. That's what I got. I got our posse here for.
I figured you were coordinating this effort.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. Oh, sorry. I got violent diarrhea. My bad. Couldn't make it. Sorry. That's my excuse.
Funny, that seems to happen all the time when I talk to you for more than 5 minutes.
Oh, so we are back with another episode of The Walking Dead. Now, before we get to that monstrosity, we're gonna talk a little bit about Chris's take. He did miss last week if you didn't listen, but what did you think about live bait?
To quote our good friend JS on the Gunna Geek podcast, it's straight poo-poo. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't enjoy it. The governor is better in small doses, I think, when he can be really creepy. And to see a governor who's just bat-ass crazy, it's fun for the first 10 minutes. And then you're like, okay, I want to know more what's going on. And they just left too many cliffhangers in the prison. And now we go, 2 weeks without seeing any of that? It really broke up the flow of things. And I just didn't enjoy it. And I didn't bring myself to care about anyone in there.
Yeah, we talked last week, and I know you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's podcast, but the thing is, I thought that the execution was poor, but the concept was good. I still like the idea of occasionally taking an episode away, but I just haven't seen the proper execution yet with it, and I was on the fence, not really even on the fence. I didn't like it that much. I wasn't about to slam on it last week, but I have to say, I may change my tune when we talk a little bit more about this week's episode. But
see, there were plenty of chances earlier in the season. Just sprinkle in bits of the governor instead of doing a one-off or two-off episode for him. So I don't know.
Yes.
It just felt forced to me. We love David Morris, so let's give him a 2-episode arc where he's the only one on there that anyone would give a crap about.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of thought that it was, I like that we built up the governor in a different person, as a different person, until we got part 2 of the governor special. Why don't I throw it over to you, since I had a terrible synopsis a couple of weeks back. Why don't you go ahead and run us through what happens in this episode?
In this episode, we were left with the cliffhanger that the governor or Brian had fallen into a pit chasing after, I forget even the little girl's name. She's that memorable to me. And he's surrounded by walkers, and you find out that I'm terrible with the names too. It's Martinez from Woodbury. His crew comes and saves him basically and tells him, oh, we have a community of our own. You should come and join us. But you have to realize I'm in charge. Okay, that's fine, I thought.
And Martinez does something as well where he kind of vouches for the guy. They say, oh, you know the guy? And he's like, oh, yeah, I know the guy.
Yeah, like, I know him. We used to live together or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
I think they used to play billiards. I think that was the excuse that he went with. No, I'm just kidding.
It was probably chess, because they've been shoehorning this chess motif down our throats the last two episodes. Also.
Continue.
So we flash forward, and we've got him in the camp, and the little girl's name is Megan. I just looked it up. He's playing chess with her, but at the same time, he is hanging up the wash to dry. He's been wringing out the wash water, and you basically get this whole long monologue where she asks him if his father liked him, and he says no. And you kind of get the idea that the governor didn't come from a loving family, so maybe he's got daddy issues. And the little girl thinks that her daddy never liked her either. They bond over that shared thing. And really, the only part that's consequential about this that I enjoyed is, as the camera pans out to go to the opening credits, you see that he's hanging up the laundry on a line tied between a camper and a tank. And for fans of the comic book, you know that tank's coming into play. You know it's coming into play.
Yeah, you do. Continue.
And I did also enjoy the fact that Martinez's crew, they don't have their three questions like Rick. They just kind of openly accepted him. I just thought of
that. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. We should come back to that.
We should.
Continue.
All right, so basically right after that, they go out on a run. Martinez takes the governor, Brian, or One Eye Bri, as they start calling him during this scene, to go out into the Georgia forest to try and find supplies. They find an abandoned cabin, and while they're headed out that way, they find two beheaded soldiers that are tied to a tree. One has a sign around their neck that says liar, and the other one has a sign around him that proclaims him a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they find another guy inside this one cabin. He has a sign around his neck that says murderer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. There was three altogether, and they were all quite negative, quite negative.
Yes, and the inference we're to take there is that these soldiers came up and killed the owner of the cabin's wife and family. So then we can go, oh, that same thing happened to the governor. His wife and daughter are dead. That's so sad, even though they've been beating us over the head with it for the last episode and a half at this point. As he stares longingly at a picture of his family, and we go, huh, is this a show on the CW? I really didn't enjoy this one.
Hold on, we gotta back that up here for a minute before you continue. Did you just use a CW burn, and you also do an Arrow podcast titled The Starling Tribune?
Yes, but the fact of the matter is they kind of just work around the shoehorned in romance crap they have to put in there and make a superhero show.
True, fair enough. Continue. I digress.
And though, I guess one of the other big things is this dead doppelganger in the cabin. He also likes to store zombified heads, just like the governor did in Woodbury. Ooh. We're really subtle trying to say this guy's just like the governor.
Yeah, that wasn't subtle at all.
No, not at all. So they all hang out in the cabin. They're drinking beers. They're having fun. They start joking about what they all did before the apocalypse, but the governor, or One Eye Bri, or Brian, or whatever the crap we decide to call him, decides not to share his story, just that he survived. That's all there really was.
Yep.
The only cool thing you really get in that point is the one guy explains how the tank gets there, because he was in the army, and he took his ride with him when he quit. And he has an awesome quote. He goes, "End of the world don't mean shit when you got a tank."
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was actually one of the funny, or the highlights from this past episode, believe it or not.
Exactly. So after they leave the cabin, they go back to the camp, and they have a big picnic basically in the center of camp, where they're sharing skunky beers and canned beans, things like that. And they start asking Martinez more about the governor, Brian's past, and Brian won't talk about it, and he kind of gets the point, Martinez, that he shouldn't talk about it either. Mm-hmm. So there's that. He's not going to share his past.
No, and this is after they've gone off too, right?
And this is their return from foraging.
Yeah, and we should mention there is a fairly important part in there where they come across a camp. They debate on pillaging the camp.
Right.
Is that an appropriate term? Can I say pillage?
Yeah, that works.
And they go and decide against it, contrary to somebody standing up for it. And then when they circle around after finding like a squirrel, they discover that somebody has apparently slit the throats and pillaged the camp of bum, those bum, people. Bum.
The governor would have done when he, well, excuse me, something Brian would have done when he was the governor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you mentioned, we're at the camp. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, we're at the camp, and as the picnic wraps up, Martinez offers to, he wants to talk to Brian, and they're going to go and play some golf off the top of one of the RVs, and they're just basically not putting, but taking shots with the golf balls into the woods. And Martinez is telling his story about how he created this camp, how he stepped up as a leader. And he kind of says, I'm kind of glad you're here because maybe we can share the crown a little bit. And that's when Brian just kind of goes ape-ass crazy and beats him upside the back of the head with a golf club, pushes him off the camper, and then drags him to one of the Walker pits while telling him, I don't want it, I don't want it, or something along those lines. Yeah. It was creepy as hell, I'll fully admit, but it's kind of a drastic change.
And
especially
it
when you see what happens the rest of the episode.
It was like flip, right? Like they were actually sitting there talking, and you could see they were kind of having a normal, you know, reminiscing sort of conversation. And then Martinez says to the governor, he goes, maybe you and I can lead this together. And it was just like flip. And he just beats him over the head, puts him down or brings him down towards the Walker pit and feeds him to the walkers.
Right. I mean, the point is they don't want him to be, they want to show that he doesn't want to be a leader anymore. He's scared of that. We get that. But this is a really abrupt change. I mean, he is nuts. So I guess that reinforces that. I don't really, I was kind of like meh on it. So the next morning, the camp is woken up and they're basically told the tale that Martinez drunkenly fell into the Walker pit because he was shooting golf balls around and he tried to go and get one and was drunk, fell, hit his head and was eaten. And everyone buys it.
Yeah.
So how drunk is this guy walking around camp when he's the leader?
Well, exactly, because they say we found the remains or what's left of Martinez. And they all buy that he was just drunk. Like, okay, easy enough, apparently. Whatever.
So there's a big argument as to who's going to be the leader in the camp. And eventually it's decided they'll try and have an election or find some way to choose someone in the next few days. But until then, I think the guy's name is Mitch is in charge. Or is it Pete? I can't remember.
I think it's Pete.
Pete that's in charge. He's the younger brother who's played by one of the guys from Dollhouse, who's fantastic, I might add. But
yeah, he is. I'm sure it's Pete.
So they go out for a hunt. Don't find anything. This is when they find that other camp. We got out of order.
Okay, my bad. Continue.
Yeah, it all kind of blurs together in this episode. I wouldn't worry about it.
Continue.
Basically, when they get back from the hunt, Brian is shaken. He returns to his camper, and he's all panicky because they found this other campsite that had been attacked, and he thinks they're next. So he tells Lily, we all have to pack up. We have to leave immediately. And he has an interesting line. This was kind of interesting, where he goes, I can't lose her again, when he's talking to Lily and Megan, where he might not realize that they're not his wife and daughter. That right. He's just nuts enough he's replacing them in his head.
Yeah.
So they pile into the car, into the station wagon or whatever, and they try and run. But it doesn't work because the road is blocked in by walkers that are stuck in the mud. So, what's going to happen next?
Which, by the way, I believe it was Jason Kittrell that had gone and said something like, oh, that's a heck of a pothole or something like that. Yeah, or speed something bump, like I think, maybe. I don't remember. Something like that. I laughed. I thought it was funny.
So the governor takes his pseudo family back to the camp and he comes up with his survival plan B, where he heads to Pete's trailer and he says he wants to talk to him. And as soon as he lets him in, governor just straight up kills him, stabs him in the chest and the stomach 3 or 4 times, and then chokes him out. Next up, he goes to Mitch's camper, but along the way, he kind of finds his dark leather jacket again that he was wearing near the end of season 2. I don't recall if he was wearing it before that, but it definitely makes you think, ooh, Brian is now the governor again.
Exactly. That was a little more subtle, okay? That was a little more subtle. I got to throw in that. That counts
as subtle in this episode. I don't know. The fans are going to grill me on this one because I hated it. But he goes into Mitch's trailer next, and instead of killing him, he figures out this guy's a little weak-minded and is able to flip him to being on his side, to think in his mindset. Ooh. He basically cons him into saying he doesn't want to be a hero, but he wants to survive. And he kind of sells Mitch on the fact that he too can survive with him.
And exactly. And it's something that at first you see that Mitch, I think, is it Mitch? I don't know. I'm confused now. Let's call him Mitch. Mitch at first is sort of like, oh my God, you killed Pete. Like, really, why'd you have to do it? He's upset. And then you see him come around as the governor does what he does best, which is convince people to follow him.
And the governor spins it really well, too. He's like, how are we going to account for the fact that he's dead? And he goes, well, tell him we went on a run and he saved us. Everybody loves a hero.
Yep. Governor right there with his defense. Yep. Thought it all out.
He's straight back to Woodbury mode at this point. And then I did think it was kind of cool the way he got rid of the body. From what we can tell at this point, it just looks like he dumps it in the lake.
Right.
And then later in the episode, we find out he weighted down the body. So he's looking into the lake at the end of the episode, and you see a zombified, was it Brian, I think it is, or no, Pete. I'm sorry, I'm getting names wrong at all. The younger brother, this is Pete in this case.
Corey
is
Matthews. Zombified. No.
Yeah, exactly. He's zombified at the bottom of the lake, and he's trying to grab the governor through the water, but he can't go anywhere because he's got a weight around his ankle.
Yeah.
That was a cool effect.
Which, once again, toss back. That's a throwback to his aquarium, right? He's got to have his place to think. Got to have his place to think.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. So we flash forward a couple weeks and the governor is fully back in charge. He's basically having a staff meeting where everyone is given orders and then following those orders. And we see that the camp is built up. The infrastructure is better than ever. You've got barbed wire around the perimeter. You've got guards set up to make sure no walkers randomly walk in, because there were no guards before when Martinez was running the place, it seemed like. How did they survive? Honestly, a pit? That's all that saved them. But anywho.
They were all drunk. They just passed out. That's all.
Yeah. So we then cut to the governor. He's in his trailer. He's got his eye patch off as he's doing his eye maintenance, I guess, or cleaning up his face. That same time, it's Lily that walks in, and he tries to hurriedly put the patch back on. She goes, I don't care about that. I still like you anyways. And at the same time, her daughter Megan has been trying to play hide-and-go-seek, and she gets confronted by a walker in the middle of camp and nearly bitten. So the governor freaks out a lot.
Yeah, like big time freaks out. And he runs out there and look what happens. Oh, somehow he has found the time, contrary to his new daughter screaming, to put his eye patch back on.
Yeah.
And he comes out and beats the walkers and saves the day as usual.
He shoots in the head. Made it look like she was going to get bit because the other woman had no gun that was trying to save her.
Everybody's careless, but he saves the day again. So now the group is
like Gary Stu.
Yeah. The group has once again bought into him because he has shown how he can save the day.
And exactly. So this episode ends with the governor getting in his truck and driving through the woods. We don't know how long it takes him to drive through the woods, but he gets out of his truck and we see he's outside the prison. We see him looking through the fence where Rick and Carl are tending crops, and then he spots Herschel and Michonne in the forest as they're clambering into the Jeep like we saw 2 weeks ago, last time we were at the prison. We all might have forgotten because it's been two damn weeks since we were at the prison. The governor points his gun at one of them, we're not sure who, and then fade to black.
And presumably it's Michonne for the eye patch. Presumably
it's Michonne, yes.
So, yeah, you did a good job of doing the synopsis, so I will go ahead and chime in here, give you some time to drink some water. We
need the synopsizer general back next time. Exactly.
Next week, we'll give you some time to recover here as I give my point. Overall, I thought that the episode was a lot better than last week, but because of the fact that it essentially made last week completely pointless, and thus I get 2 weeks of essentially crap and redundant stuff, I am not happy with this episode at all.
Yeah.
And maybe this episode on its own, if they hadn't done what they did last week, might have set better with me. Maybe even if they had done last week's episode broken up a couple of times, like, you know, over the beginning of the season, maybe. But we've now dedicated 2 weeks towards the governor, and we go in such a short period from him, you know, being reborn, essentially. He's now this likable guy. Last week, Steve and I had a conversation about whether or not the governor could come around to your good books. For me, at the time last week, he could have. This week, no. He's back to, he's back to a terrible individual who will do whatever he wants whenever he wants.
This is just their heavy-handed way of showing that he's a bad person regardless. The circumstances, too much has happened to make him be good again. So, we'll give you hope. And then, bam, no, he can't be. He's evil.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it just destroyed last week's episode. I thought, contrary to the governor being so off base from the comic, like after last week, I thought, wow, they have taken this governor character and they've given him, he's got three dimension now, right? Like he's no longer a two dimensional character or is it one dimensional? One dimensional?
I think he's one dimensional
in this case. He was no longer a one dimensional. Let's try that again. He's no longer a one dimensional character. That last week they gave him some depth. They definitely said, look, he has a different side to him. But this week they went and they destroyed that. So what was the point in last week? I liked that. You know, it was different. But
you know what the point was? It was a filler episode. That's all.
It must have been.
Stretch out to mid season.
And really, like, I just think that they focused on the wrong aspects here. You know, David Morrissey, don't get me wrong, he sells it. He's terrific. His flip of the switch that I talked about earlier when he beat Martinez, it was good. It was great acting, but it was just not a good overall arc. They should have handled this better. I'm not happy with what they've done the last two episodes, especially so close to a freaking mid-season finale. I hate that term, but they do it on AMC, and I'm just irritated with how they've handled these last few episodes. The other thing that I need to give a shout out here, which is going a little bit ahead, if you watch the preview for next week, apparently they are going to storm the camp
Again.
This is irritating. This is ridiculous. My wife and I were both very let down. She's bought into certain areas this whole series that I have not been able to get over. She has been able to get over certain aspects that I've had problems with. I could see the look on her face. She didn't say it, but if it continues, she'll be done with this show.
Right.
I could see it on her face, and I think her exact terms was, "I'm over it." That's what she said. She said that she was over it and that it was let down. And last season, where we ended up was, I believe it was where the governor was becoming a really bad individual on the screen at the midseason finale. He was doing the interrogation of Maggie, if I recall correctly. You know,
no, this was when he put Merle and Daryl in the pit to fight each other.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But he really, really though, like this was sort of a big flip switching moment last year. And it seems like we've gone a year now with no real movement, right? We've lost some characters.
Well, no, he moved. He just turned back into what he was again.
Yeah. I just feel though, like, you know, I left this episode going, so it's been a year and we've accomplished nothing. You know what? The governor is a great character to use elsewise. They should have kept him towards the second half, like maybe the end of the season, and done another arc. And then maybe they could have come back to that next year and wouldn't have been as bad. But to have so much of two seasons back to back, you know, doing the same thing. Now we're storming the freaking prison again. I don't buy it. And that irritates me.
That doesn't bother me so much. What bothers me here is they really just broke up the flow of things because they've been telling a really good story about the people in the prison. And then we go for 2 weeks without having the prison characters featured at all. It would have been okay. Well, I guess it would have been better, let me say, this week or for the last two episodes if they mixed in some stuff that was happening at the prison versus just completely forgetting about it for 2 weeks to tell an independent story. It just didn't fit well to me.
Well, here's the problem. And contrary to what people say, and they disagree with me and all the stuff on the overall picture of Clear, I don't care. I can understand that people like that episode. I can understand why. But you cannot, like, nobody can I really don't think that people can actually think that the way that last year with Clear, how they sent people off on their own mission, and there was so much to fill in along the way of like, oh, how close are they back to his hometown, right? Like, that was a glaring issue that they had with this. And because of that, it ended up being almost a little disjointed, right? Because it was the episode before, it was like, okay, we're in trouble. We need to do something fast. People are going off on a mission to all of a sudden we're in a town. Okay, crisis averted. The next episode, right? Like, it was such a quick left turn, right? Like, it was so sharp how they solved that with Clear. And you know, whether or not it's a great episode, let's not debate that, but the thing is, I feel like they did that again here. They set everything up so well, it's going so smooth, and then they take the sharp left turn with the governor, right? Like, and it's disjointed to me.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing here. These episodes, they're the weakest of this season, that's for sure, but that's amplified by the effect that it doesn't seem to fit in. It feels forced how we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah. And really, they really should not have put these episodes back to back, because whether or not that's the canon that they wanted it, where the governor spends, you know, months or whatever being a great individual, he goes over, he's still a great individual, saves the girl, and then flips the switch 3 days later, right? If that's what they wanted, fine. But by breaking it up in the order as a viewer, we can't put two and two together. We have to sort of recall our memory a little bit and go, okay, yeah, that did happen, you know, like 2 days ago, but it doesn't feel. Yeah, go ahead.
let me pitch you an idea then. If they'd changed things up and they'd done it so that the first of this two episode arc aired on its own, maybe a couple up two or three episodes earlier, and then they'd mixed in pieces from this latest episode with the other episodes have already aired, would it have been more palatable to you, where you've got the prison and the governor's further changes going on at the same time?
Yeah, I do think that it would have been, because I do think that there was good elements of this, but it's the whole thing of can this stand on its own? We see that happen with, like for example, comic book characters, right? A lot of times there's some really good comic book characters in comics, but they can't hold their own title. That's the situation with this here, is this episode has good elements. I really thought, like, the showing the governor can flip his switch back as quick as possible and had not changed was a decent reveal, because they had set up that he had become a good individual. But the fact that this was all one episode, it couldn't hold its own ground.
I think that's fair.
That's my thoughts. Really do.
I think that this episode could have been condensed into one episode probably, and it had been a little fast paced, but trying to make it into two just stretched things out too much. You had maybe realistically 1.5 episodes, 1.25 episodes worth of content here. And some of the stuff in this second episode just felt forced to add in time.
I agree.
And to me, with the way this season's been going so far, it just doesn't fit in. And I think maybe that's why I just didn't like it that much, is because it's such a disconnect, because we're so used to seeing the characters we care about. Now we've only got one character we actually know, and that's the governor. And none of these new characters are really compelling that we met.
Well, and let me also pitch a problem with this here as well. So now we're halfway through the season, and what's happened with our group? Our group got sick, and they got antibiotics, right? That's what's happened. That's because we wasted 2 episodes on the governor. That's what we take away from this, because the governor has negated in himself, right? His episode, one was to build him up, one was to break him down. So those two are basically pointless. So essentially,
It's a wash.
So now you are halfway through the season, and what happened? They got sick and they killed pigs, right?
And Carol's gone.
Those are
the two main things. And the thing that really sort of bothers me a little bit is they leave us with this cliffhanger that we were really theorizing about, 3 weeks ago, where Daryl has just found out that Rick has news about Carol. He doesn't know what happened, but the Carol's not there and Rick knows why.
Yeah.
And we were theorizing, what's going to happen? And that plot thread's been dropped for 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be nearly as powerful at this point when you go back and have this, where's Carol? And who knows what the payoff will be. But the fact we've had a 2-week gap in between, it really lessens that impact, I think. I don't know. I know I'm sounding really bitchy about this. It's just, it didn't feel like the rest of this season. And that's why there's such a disconnect to me. And that's why I'm so unhappy with it.
Yeah,
I understand they need to bring the governor back in some way, shape, or form. That's fine. But if I was telling some of my friends to watch this, I'd be like, skip these 2 episodes. All you need to know is the fact is the governor comes back.
And I kind of can't help but wonder if, because so much of The Walking Dead, like, people have been jumping on for the last few years through things like Netflix, I think maybe not watching week to week, I don't know if I'd be as critical on it. And it irritates me if that is the case, if maybe they're writing almost towards that audience because they have been picking up people through Netflix and stuff. And, you know, there's been so much other success with Breaking Bad, things like that. And if that's the case, I don't really like that. I don't think that series should be writing towards later. You know,
I don't think that's the case here. I think they just tried to do something different, to do something very character centric with their dark version of Rick, because that's basically what the governor is at this point. Is that Rick goes crazy and pulls himself out of it and becomes a good person again. The governor goes crazy, pulls himself out of it, becomes a good person temporarily, and then backslides into what he was.
True.
He's Rick's nightmare, basically. That's what the analogy is that this is what Rick could have been.
Yeah, but
which is what it was in season 3, is Rick would have been the governor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's not harp on the same thing. Let's open up a new can of pasta or SpaghettiOs and and let's move on from the old one. Okay, let's move on from the Alphagettis onto the SpaghettiOs. There we go. That's probably better.
It's not the worst episode I've ever seen, but it's pretty low down there. And I just think that everyone had such high expectations based off of how well the scene's been going, especially at the very beginning, and then this just felt like a stinker to me because I didn't care about any of it. Nothing drew me in to be like, ooh, I'm really curious to see what happens. I looked at my watch and I was like, man, how far am I in this? I've got to be almost near the end. I was like, I'm 26 minutes in. crap, I've got more to watch. If we hadn't done the podcast, at that point I'd have turned it off for that week, because anything that I need to know, they would have showed me in the previously on the Walking Dead bit next week.
True enough.
I mean, and honestly, you could encapsulate these two episodes in that. The governor gets a new group of people. He gets a tank. He comes back to the prison and goes, ooh, this is what I need to do. Honestly, if you go back 2 weeks ago, you could skip until this next upcoming episode probably and not care.
Yeah. No, I agree. I
think we should revisit this one at the end of the season and see if that's the case. See if there's anything they bring up in the mid-season finale. I know you hate that term. Or any of the later episodes that actually calls back to this two-episode governor arc. Because if there is, it's going to be something minor. I don't see anyone caring. I honestly think you could skip these two.
The only thing that I can take from this is that maybe there's going to be something that happens with this girl. Who is it? What's her name? Minnie Mouse? Whatever
Billy name is. Or something like that. Yeah, I don't remember.
This little girl. Maybe
the little girl's Megan.
Megan. Maybe there's going to be something with Megan where maybe the group does something bad, like, you know, threatens her life or something like that, you know, takes her in. And we need to be able to maybe relate a little bit of why the governor is so passionate. Because had they done it all in 45 minutes, you know, all both episodes in 45 minutes, we might not have been able to buy the fact that he now had that.
That's fair.
That's the only thing that I can think that's remotely redeeming to why they would have done last week's episode so heavily and then knock it out this week.
No, that's a fair statement. I agree with that. I don't know, man. I really had such high expectations when 2 weeks ago they showed the governor in the teaser for next week, and then we got this, and I was like, but this isn't what you teased me with.
Exactly.
What you teased me with was the governor outside the gates, and it took 2 weeks to get that payoff, and then there was no payoff because it was basically wait until next week.
Yeah. But I suppose that wraps it up for this conversation. We want to know what you think, but you can go ahead and tell us what you think via a few different methods. I want to remind people of these methods, because last time Chris and I did a podcast where we were an episode where we were fairly critical on an episode. It was just him and I. We got beat up pretty hard on the iTunes feedback, but that's not where you should be leaving your feedback, because we will only discover that like 6 to 10 months later. So where you should tell us all about it is at the following locations. That was a natural segue for you to tell.
I thought you were going to start this. Well, you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingthewalkingdead. Tweet us on Twitter at Walker Talkers, or send us an email, walkers@walkingthewalkingdead.com. And if you really, really want to get your voice on the podcast, don't worry, we have a voicemail number. You can call us at 567-246-WTWD. That's 567-246-9893. Call us there. We'll play your feedback on the air. We'll respond semi-live to it because we don't record live, but you'll hear it like it was live. And you'll get our direct feedback based off of what you say. Plus, you'll get to be one of those voices on the internet.
Exactly. So go ahead and tell us there. Tell us
and guys,
there.
Feel free to beat me up if you disagree with what I said about this episode. I'm sure some people loved it, and I'm glad that you did love it. But for me, these last two episodes, I kind of just wanted my 2 hours back because I just didn't care. And I'll take my beating for it. Hit me up on one of those methods, and I'll take my beating.
Yeah, and I want to remind people, too, that if you are mad with what we're saying right now, and you want to yell at your iPod, or you're doing that, what you should remember is that we are a fan podcast. We are here to act as fans because we are fans. We are here to entertain fans. We are here to engage fans. And that's what we've done if you're yelling at your iPod right now. So that makes a good podcast. So that's a 5-star review in iTunes, right, Chris?
Right? Yes, I completely agree.
Exactly. There you go. That's my pitch. So we do.
In all seriousness, if there's someone out there listening, I'm sure there are, that disagrees with what we're saying about this episode and you loved it, let us know why you enjoyed it. So maybe I can see from your point of view why this episode was better than I see it as. Maybe I'm missing something. And if I am, I'd love to know.
We're just a couple of guys. It's not like we're big figures, like, you know, figureheads or mayors of Toronto like Rob Ford or anything. Okay.
Oh, geez, Rob Ford. Did we really just drop Rob Ford in this podcast?
We totally did. I figured how much more can I break it down since we're talking about
this
episode.
Is this for SEO purposes only?
It should be. It should be. Fanboy, should we do some fan feedback?
Let's do the fan feedback.
All right. This week's fan feedback is going to come from the one and only Scott Williams. You might remember Scott Williams from a podcast that I used to do that it was called The Fanboy Buzz. That was a comic book podcast, and occasionally we would talk about The Walking Dead. He had a very interesting message that he sent myself and Steve through a group chat, actually, this past week. He sent it to me yesterday, so I don't know if he's caught up or not, but he says, I think Carol may join the governor's camp in order to kill him and take over as leader. Then she attacks Rick's camp in order to get, quote, her girls, quote, back. What do you think of that? Can't buy that train? Can't get on that train?
I think Carol is there to be in the spinoff.
Yeah, I hate to say it, Scott, but I can't agree with you on that. I don't see that happening. I think she would be mad at Rick. I don't think she would be mad at the rest of the camp. I think I don't necessarily think that she would expect everybody to come hunting for her because they have no clue where she is because Rick abandoned her in the middle of nowhere. So I don't think she'd be mad at the camp, maybe at Rick, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. But that's not to say she might not be coming back this week. Who knows? Or after the midseason finale, she comes into the rescue. I don't know. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, so tell us what you think. Do you buy that? You know, write us and all that stuff that where Chris mentioned previously. But one last final shout out, which I'm going to throw to Chris because he pointed this out to me. Why don't you tell listeners all about this and tell them that they can find it in the show notes?
There is this great video that is floating around the internet that I saw just before we started recording. It is a YouTube video called Governor's Creek, where they basically take the opening credits music to Dawson's Creek and then cut it with scenes from these last two episodes of The Walking Dead. And it is hilarious. Check it out in the show notes. Steven was watching it before the show, and I could hear him shaking his head while he was laughing at the same time.
It's awesome.
If you're like one of us who grew up in the late 90s, the early 2000s, I'm sure we got roped into watching Dawson's Creek once in a while, and it is hilarious. They pull back on like all that fake teenage angst crap they put in that show. It's totally worth watching.
Absolutely. Totally worth watching. Check it out. It is in the show notes or at facebook.com/walkingthewalkingdead. So any final closing plugs or remarks or just wanting to say how happy you are that I could spend your Thanksgiving with you?
I had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you, Steven, for this great experience.
Anytime. It's what I do. I make things better.
No, but in all seriousness, it was fun. I wish it had been a better episode we were talking about. And like I said earlier, for people who did enjoy it, I'm glad you did. But just let us know what you liked about it.
For sure.
I'm really curious.
And I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to the GunnaGeek.com network. That's GunnaGeek.com/network. There is a lot of great podcasts on there, including the one that I subtly plugged earlier, the Starling Tribune, which does feature Chris Farrell talking about Arrow. So maybe you like the Arrow TV show. Check that out. Maybe you like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's a podcast for that. Maybe you just like to tune in on Sunday listening to Chris Farrell spit and swear and make all sorts of inappropriate jokes. You can check that out as well.
Yeah, I swore this week, but Steven's going to bleep it out for you guys.
Yeah, that's true. I think he did. I think he said the S word a couple of times. We'll see you.
Hey, it's on the show. I figure I was allowed to say
it. So for the WalkingTheWalkingDead.com podcast, WTWD Radio Free Woodbury, my name is Steven John Drew.
And I'm Chris Farrell.
Bye.
You've been listening to WTWD's Radio Free Woodbury. From all of us here at Walking the Walking Dead, thanks for listening. To check out other Walking Dead news, episode guides, collection information, interviews, and other exclusives, stop by WalkingTheWalkingDead.com. Find us on Twitter at Walker Talkers and like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WalkingTheWalkingDead. If you have comments or suggestions for a future show, email walkers@walkingthewalkingdead.com. I'm Steve Boyd, a.k.a. The Governor. We'll see you next week if you stay alive.